I remember Martin Ferguson as a politician. He was all about the working class and fighting for workers' rights and preserving wages and so forth. He's got out of the parliament now. He's working for the bosses, it seems. He's now the chairman of Tourism Accommodation Australia, and he's talking about the fact that we need to reduce penalty rates in the tourism sector, calling for a new industrial vision. And he joins me now. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Adam.
You've really reinvented yourself, haven't you? You get to the point where you've really angered your former colleagues in the Labor Party. They want to get rid of you. Sort of, yeah, what happened, Martin? Why have you changed so dramatically from earlier days?
The problem is that what I'm arguing is consistent with what I argued for as the Minister for Tourism. I said on numerous occasions we had to front up to the fact the industry has changed dramatically. It's not an industry that was only open Monday to Friday, and a little bit on Saturdays and Sundays in the 50s and 60s when a Sunday was seen as a day of worship. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and perhaps more importantly, tourism with the transition in our economy is a growth engine of jobs in the future, and WA is a prime example of the challenge.
Yeah.
With the end of the mining boom.
Well, let's take it back to individual workers though, Martin. A lot of these workers are part-time. They're students and do other things. They work on the weekends. They rely on these penalty rates to make ends meet. Can't you see that that's would be a diminution of their income and so forth?
It's not about abolishing penalty rates. So let's be very clear. The Australian Hotels Association, the Tourism Accommodation Association, not about abolishing penalty rates. They're about revisiting an industrial framework that was put in place in the 50s, 60s and 70s. It's about trying to work out how, if there are changes in penalty rates, alternatively, you also look after those who don't come and go from the industry for a short period, but actually want to make a career of it. And a prime example are the women who clean the hotel rooms in the middle of Perth, often live outside the central area in the suburbs, got all the extra cost of coming in, work Monday to Friday, day shift for, what, $32,000, $33,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are women. My own personal view has always been my view. I'm primarily concerned about looking after those people who are going to spend the rest of their life in the industry. They're not the ones picking up the premium shifts. And, yes, students are entitled to be considered in this dimension. But
they're
a
big part of the hospitality industry, though, Martin. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Think about this. A public holiday now for a bar attendant is over $50 an hour. That effectively means that those students are no longer going to get the job because a lot of the industry is no longer prepared to open on those days because they can't afford to pay hourly rates such as $50 a day. So the jobs aren't there. The real debate is whether or not do you actually change the nature of the industrial framework and in doing so create more jobs, but also look after those who are going to spend their whole life, their career in the industry, who historically are not high-income earners and they haven't got the premium shifts. It's actually gone to those who don't devote themselves to full-time or permanent part-time employment. And that's what the TAA is about, trying to revisit how we create a new opportunity that effectively means there will be an argument about what are the appropriate penalties. But the association is not talking about abolishing the penalties.
Okay, well, what do you say is the appropriate level of penalty rates?
I think that's a matter for argument. And today, I think it's today that the union submissions in response to the application by TAA are due. It'll come on for appropriate argument, etc. I think that's a matter for the Industrial Commission to consider. But on the way through, who knows, perhaps people are prepared to stand back from the old industrial war approach to these issues, front up to the fact that the industry has changed, that we've got to create more jobs because the mining jobs are gone for the immediate future and we'll wind back on the construction of Gorgon and Wheatstone, all those jobs are gone. So people actually flocked to those industries and left tourism over the last couple of years because you get 2.5 times the rate of pay. They'll be wanting to come back into the industry. But
yeah,
you've got these current arrangements and the restaurants and the bars and that are not going to open because people cannot make a quid. So the jobs aren't there.
Well, but the workers have to make a quid too. As a former ACTU president, you fought for the preservation of penalty rates and the extension in a number of industries. How do you reconcile that stance back then with what you're saying today?
Because it's an entirely different framework. I think back to when I went to the union in the mid-1970s. Sunday work in a lot of industries and public holiday work was not common. And nor was Saturday and Sunday trading in the shops late night shopping in some states and still had difficulties in WA. Imagine trying to say to the Australian community now, we're going to go back to a highly regulated society. We're going to have restricted hours in terms of the operation of shops and restaurants and everything else. And frankly, there'll be a revolt by the Australian community. What I'm trying to advance, which I advance as a minister, tourism, a real industry, is going to be part of our jobs growth in the future. Primary responsibility is to those workers who work full-time in the industry, many of whom are women, don't earn a lot of money, and therefore their superannuation and benefits over their working life are not that high. Mm. Yes, we must have regard for the needs of students and others from time to time who want to go into the industry, earn a few dollars to buy a new fridge or to assist in the purchase of a car or holiday. Fair enough. But we cannot price the industry out of the market, both domestically and internationally. And WA, during the resources boom, was out of the international tourism market to some extent, because we also had the high dollar, plus we had very high tariffs in terms of the hotels over there. And frankly, the WA went backwards to some extent, not because of support by government and the industry, but because of what was occurring in our general economy.
Yeah.
The opportunity is there now for WA to actually pick up and develop the industry. You've got the biggest investment in hotels that I can think of in the last 20 to 30 years, I must say. I give credit to Colin Barnett, and I must say the tourism minister I worked with at the time, Kim Haynes, they knew they had to create opportunities for getting investment. They work for the Commonwealth Government and are now producing the goods.
Mm. Martin, all these sort of comments, they're fine, coming from someone who would have been on the conservative side of the equation, but you've come from the Labor movement. You're facing an expulsion motion from the party later this month. Do you think that's fair? Do you think the Labor Party needs to take on board these sort of doctrines?
Look, the trade union official, Labor Member of Parliament, Cabinet Minister, and now I work in the private sector, I always spoke up about what I thought was right. The views I have expressed in the public domain since I left Parliament, be it on tourism this evening, or about the competitiveness of the mining and the LNG sector, are consistent with what I argued as a minister. I haven't changed. In some ways, I think some elements of the trade union and the Labor Party have changed from the change that we undertook and embraced through the Hawke and Keating period, which reformed Australia, made us competitive, and has given us 25 years of consistent economic growth. All of us have to front up to the fact we live in a dynamic world. The views and attitudes we might have had 10, 20, 30 years ago actually in some ways are no longer relevant to a modern economy in the 21st century.
Okay, thanks for your time, Martin. Appreciate that.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That's Martin Ferguson, newly appointed Chairman of Tourism Accommodation Australia. I hardly recognise him from the Martin Ferguson I used to know in government. Anyway, people do change and their attitudes do change over time.